Thank you for tuning in to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Mitch, of course, is off. It's right before Christmas, and y'all have ordered so much stuff that he has to work. He doesn't have time to stop and play, apparently. So pretty lucky my co-host this week is J.E. Vanatta.
I don't know if I call it a co-host, but I'm present. So
there we go. He is the co-host this time by force.
Yes.
But we're blessed to have him because
glad to be here.
We are going to turn this into electronic time. And so lots of questions, and hopefully you can answer them, kind of explain a few things, and go through like what Hummingbird possibly has coming out, you know, okay. So you can tell us. And that's just one part of Johnson Outdoors, right?
That's correct. Johnson Outdoors actually owns several sporting companies, from kayaks to scuba gear. I mean, it's an outdoor family is what it is.
Yep. So we're going to kind of stick in this Hummingbird thing. Of course, we're here on the lake. Beaver Lake is right behind us, and it's a great place to go fishing. Great place for sight fishing, but sight fishing is going to actually change a little bit, isn't it? Like when they say sight, they're going to mean sight on their graphs.
Well, you know, we've been doing it for a long time on 2D sonar, deep drop shot and spoon, right, such as that. They call it, you know, the computer fishing. Computers are getting faster and more detailed, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, so that's good news. Tell us, what models do you have in the Hummingbird, and kind of give us start at the bottom range and then work our way up, because I happen to know that you have a brand new one with a very powerful processor coming out.
We do. That'll be sometime after the first year, probably February. But we have really three families of units now. The Helix, which is our base unit. Okay. On that, we've got a 5-inch, 7-inch, 8-inch, 9-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch, and now a 15-inch screen available.
Wow.
All of those with side imaging, down imaging, 2D sonar, GPS systems. From there, we go up to the Solix family, which now in Solix, we have 10, 12s, and 15-inch units.
Right.
Same process as sonar systems that we've got on the Helix, but we have touch screens. So they have a lot more custom ability to customize the screens you're looking at.
Okay.
And then the new one, if you want to talk about that now, which will be probably sometime in February, is the Apex.
The Apex.
Apex has actually been released, the information on it. It was primarily focused for the saltwater environment. For a lot of the large boats and center console guys like to have a flat glass screen appearance.
Right.
We're on our Solix and the Helix. We've got about an inch and a quarter protrusion off the surface if you flush mount it.
Uh-huh.
Where with the Apex, we've got just a little over a quarter of an inch. So it's much flatter, more finished look for the saltwater boats or the big console boats.
Right.
It's a touchscreen product. The interface is very, very similar to what the Solix is. A surface mount option on it, you can mount through the corners or flush mount from the back, just like we have on the current Helix and Solix products too.
Yeah. So the advantage is the glass that you're showing on the Apex for the appearance anyway, and for the installation.
Correct. The saltwater guys really don't like that protrusion.
Right.
They want it as flat as they can get it. So that's what it was focused to. But, and as you know, the bass guys, the crappie guys are calling for them now. It's just going to be we got 13, 16, and 19-inch screens, so guys want to go big.
I think they built the 19-inch screen for myself because I don't like wearing my glasses. And they always have, like, you get your choice when you go into your menu and you're going through your editing, your overlay, and you see it says, like, small, medium, large, extra large, and then it says Brad.
Brad, exactly. That was an option we put in this week for you, okay? So
people that don't want to wear their glasses, and it comes in, and it's, like, this big. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah, a lot of the fishermen don't like covering up the screen, so that's why we have the options for them, from the overlays to the data boxes and different views that you can put on the screen.
So tell us about the Helix. The Helix is a unit that is, do you think that's the number one seller in the Hummingbird range? Because, I mean, that the price points on those just get ridiculous, I think, around Thanksgiving.
Well, you have to. It depends if you're talking about units or in dollar volume. I mean, as far as what sells the most. But
I mean, the most units.
It'd be in the Helix family because, again, we've got a 5-inch screen up to a 15-inch screen now. So it has an application for just about any type of boat, from kayak to big center console boats now available for that unit at a good price point, and its performance, which is kind of hard to beat.
Yeah, and so when people are stepping up to the Solix, why are they stepping up to the Solix? What are they looking for in that unit? Is that a quad-core processor in there?
No, it's dual. A lot of the times it's because of our tech guys. It's your iPhone, it's your iPad, it's touchscreen.
Right.
When somebody asked me which unit do they need to use, I said, well, first of all, it's easy for me to spend your money. You need four 19-inch Apex units, okay? That's what you need to put in your boat, Brad. But if you're a tech guy or a sonar guy, and when I say sonar guy, you know we have fishermen that run sonar, and we have sonar guys. Sonar guys can dive deeper into the Solix and the Apex now and do more adjusting, more customizing into the system than you can in the Helix. Helix is an awesome product, does everything a fisherman needs. But again, if you want to dive in deeper, then you're going to go into Solix. Or if you're a touchscreen fan, then that's the product you're going to move to.
And of course, you've touched on the Apex. What processor does it have in there? Is that a dual core?
It's dual, yeah.
It's dual core.
It is.
Yep. So it's going to be fast.
Most
like a Porsche.
Fishermen won't, the basic fishermen won't know the difference behind the screen.
Right.
Again, a sonar guy, a GPS guy, they will see a difference in the performance on the refresh rate, how quick it keeps the screens up to you, the high speed on chart systems. It's just going to be a faster product. Dual processor, it doesn't mean it's twice as fast. What it does, it picks up the overload into those situations, so it doesn't slow the unit down.
Right. And so talk about compatibility. So now you have the three units that they can choose from. Compatibility with the controlling motor, how do they match up? Can they all plug into the Minn Kota trolling motors?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm with you now. Yeah, the Bluetooth units all can. We have our, of course, one boat network is a big thing for us. We put a system together from the front of the boat to the back of the boat, from trolling motor to depth finders to shallow water anchors that you can all control through the one boat network. So from a remote to a foot pedal to a unit on the console or on the bow itself, you can operate all the systems inside the boat.
Are they all connected by an Ethernet?
We use Ethernet, yes. Reason for that is it's faster. We can put more data down the line than we can on a wireless or a Bluetooth system, although we do have wireless and Bluetooth available on new products. But as far as high volume speed of the Internet and the networking, rather, Ethernet's the system we've chosen to use.
The Apex has wireless then?
The Apex and the Solix and the new Helix has a Wi-Fi feature.
Okay. All right. And tell us, like, I know one question a lot of people have asked me is, how do I know what I'm buying when I get a Hummingbird unit? Because the boxes always have these descriptions, and it's like Gen 2 or GN 2 or things like that. And then they start talking, like, some of them, as the product talks about it, then it will say, like, DI. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, am I getting side images with that unit, or how does that work?
Great question. On most families, we have three versions of the product: the GPS sonar system, which is your basic 2D sonar and charting. Then you step up to a down imaging feature, which is your GPS sonar and down imaging involved in it. And then the side imaging unit, which has all of those features built into it. So you get your GPS sonar, GPS sonar DI down imaging, GPS sonar side imaging, which has side imaging and down imaging in the unit.
Okay. And so, and the trolling motors, some of them have built-in transducers, is that correct?
Correct.
How do they know which ones have the built-in ones? The cost?
As far as the trolling motors?
Yeah, and the trolling
motors. Again, it's on the product description. So if you have an Ultrex 45-inch 112 MDI, that's a mega down-imaging built-in transducer. Same product with MSI is a mega built-in side imaging transducer.
Okay, well, you jumped into it, so let's find out about mega imaging. So, so a lot of people don't understand the reason why there's mega imaging. Of course, we'll break it down that you, in general, 450 or 455 or 800 kilohertz, those were always the standard. That's what we're getting into. So now you guys have jumped into a different realm, haven't you?
Yeah, and we did it a few years ago with Mega. 283 was your standard 2D sonar frequency. It's about everybody used, or 5200 kilohertz.
Uh-huh.
455 and 800 megahertz on imaging was pretty much industry standard. We went to Mega 1.25 megahertz. The reason for that is when you look at sonar systems or the technology, the science behind it, it's like this little sound wave that goes down. The lower frequencies have more range but less detail because those sine waves are bigger and farther apart. With the higher frequency, 1.25 megahertz, it has less range but more detail because those sine waves are very, very close together. Came out with Mega imaging. It really improved the side imaging and down imaging features and the appearance of it.
Right.
And then a couple of years ago, again, we went to Mega Plus. I don't call it the downside, but on Mega, you were limited on the range you could shoot because of the higher frequency.
Right.
With Mega Plus, we've compensated for that. So now I can shoot at 100 foot, 125 foot, and have basically, I call it shoulder-to-shoulder coverage with good detail across the screen.
Yeah, and maybe break that down a little bit more, because what he's talking about is when you get 1.2 megahertz is when you start shooting that out over 50, 55, 60 feet, you're starting to get the echo is not, it's not a sharp image, and if they have that. So you guys have solved that problem.
Correct.
With, and what was that technology called?
Mega Plus.
Mega Plus.
So if you look at, you mentioned Gen 3, Gen 4, the Gen 4 right. Helix product right now has a Mega Plus, which means we utilize the 1.25 megahertz and mega frequencies.
Right.
But it has the feature in it that we have shoulder-to-shoulder coverage. So I can shoot 125, 150, and see detail from edge to edge. With the Mega system, I'd start to fade out on the outside edges because that frequency just does not have the range that you have in the Mega Plus.
Super sharp, though.
It's
up close.
It's
like,
awesome.
Like stair steps look like stair steps, just like you could walk down them.
Exactly.
That good.
Yeah.
So Cinderella's, you know, I guess her shoe, you could see that on there.
Well, we found some brooms. We found guns. We found a lot of things with them. So
that's interesting. So, Mega 360. So you have Mega 360. Talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people are still wondering how would that fit into actually the application of fishing.
Sure.
And I think that's where a lot of people, where they buy the products, but they don't apply what they've got on it, and they've spent a lot of money. And I do some sonar training with people. I teach them how to use their electronics, and usually, like, the first thing is you're starting to go through is what's sonar and what's chirp. You know, what is chirp? You have to explain what chirp is and things like that. But the first question is tell us a little bit about the imaging. How does the Mega 360 work? And then tell us how an angler, because I know you're an angler. I don't know what the biggest...
I'm not much of a catcher, but I'm an angler. Oh, okay, so.
I don't know what the biggest fish is you ever caught, but...
I can show you a picture if you want it. So.
We could walk in there. We could check out my fish. So,
I've seen it.
But tell us about that. Tell us about the Mega imaging.
Well, again, Mega imaging uses that 1.25 megahertz. So we go back to the 360. What I kind of like to do is to back up to the old 360 system.
Okay.
If you think about how that connected to the depth finders...
Right.
It was via Ethernet. So in that pod was actually the transducer and the system that pinged and processed, and we sent that signal up to the unit to display it via Ethernet. It was a great product. I loved it. But to fish it and fish it efficiently and to get the best display, you had to slow it down and narrow it down, is what I told everybody. If I was on Table Rock Lake this time of year looking for deep shad, I would spin it full 360 as fast as it would go because I wasn't looking for detail on the bottom of the lake.
Right.
It would blur out, but I'm looking for those shad moving through the water column. If it's summertime and I'm looking in shallower water, looking at structure on the bottom of it, I would shoot just forward. I'd bring that circle from 360 to 180 and slow it down to 1, 2, 3, or fine, fast, or slow, depending on which system you had. By moving slower, you got more detail out of the old system, but it didn't refresh as fast, but a smaller area. I couldn't stand to watch a 360 just move like this. I didn't have the patience to do that. Smaller area at that same rate, it refreshed that area quicker. Mega 360, I can spin that thing at standard settings, get the same detail I get on side imaging. The thing about it, it's important for me to people understand, is if you take side imaging and you're sitting still, you're pinging the same return over and over and over again, so there won't be any detail. It's like taking a CAT scan of the brain and slicing little pieces of it. and the stack and the pictures together. That's the display that we see coming down the screen. With Mega 360, I can sit still because the transducer itself is rotating just like a radar, underwater radar,
right.
is taking those slices as it spins, and it stacks them on the system just like I had before. I always talk about sonar. I'm sure you do the same thing. And big picture, little picture sonar.
Right.
Big picture, I'm searching. 2D sonar, DIS, I've got all of them going, all of them pinging, looking for structure, looking for fish, looking for bait fish. When I'm on the 360, that's my small sonar. I'm throwing at a target. So by looking forward, I know at 12 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, the target, and I can make a cast to it and get into that target pretty quickly instead of trying to hunt with multiple casts to find that structure.
And it's all the way around the boat.
If you want it all the way around, it's all the way around, or you can bring those segments down.
So. What's the narrowest cone you can have on 360? 30 degrees.
It's about 30 degrees, yeah. 30. I don't shoot that narrow. That's why I hesitated.
Uh-huh.
I hardly ever shoot much less than 45. When I do that,
right.
if you're going down the river right here and we're fishing the far side of the bank, I may be shooting a little bit to the left of the nose and right off to the right side of the boat because that's the area I'm moving to. That's where the 360 is going to show me my target. If I'm narrowed down that much, I'm sitting still looking at a brush pile or looking at a tree fall or something
right.
like that that I'm throwing to.
Tell us about installation. So how do you, everyone has seen the guys that have it, and they look like they've done some welding or something to get that attached to their trolling motor. How does it attach to the Johnson products? How does it attach to someone that, say, has a different brand?
We have three different Mega 360 systems right now. Fortrex, which is on a unit like the old Fortrex, where the lower shaft rotated, but the upper shaft did not.
Uh-huh.
So it clamped onto the upper shaft, which is stationary. The Ultrex, where the whole shaft and motor rotate, it actually clamps to the bottom of the motor mount itself, to the base where the shaft goes through.
Okay.
And then a universal mount, which has an articulating arm that you can mount anywhere on the boat. It basically is a 360 shaft only without the trolling motor mount. Any three of those systems are working about any boat out there. Now, we don't manufacture a product to adapt it for one of our competitors' motors.
Right.
But there's several aftermarket guys that do just that.
I gotcha. So, and does that work with all the three families, like the Helix and the Solix and that? Can you run Mega 360
yep.
on
has
all
to be,
of them?
Yes, I'm sorry. It has to be a Mega Plus unit as long as you're Mega Plus, which is Helix 8 and above. All the Solix products and all the Apex products are compatible.
In any generation?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well,
as long
good.
As they're Mega Plus, that's the key.
All right. So,
which means Gen 3 Helix, Gen 2, and Solix, okay.
What's the most wildest thing you've ever seen on your sonar unit?
Probably, we mentioned Stockton Lake and white bass and stripers earlier. I was on Stockton Lake, and I saw what looked to be a Christmas tree. And the thing about the sonar, and we mentioned before, we're taking these little slices on imaging and
right.
stacking them together. So the perspective to that target could look entirely different from one direction to the other. And what it actually was a big school of white bass that looked like a little serpentine came to the bottom like this and made this little, almost a little S-turn when you got to the other side of it. But from the angle I was at, it was this perfectly shaped Christmas tree. I've got a screen capture of it, so I'll find that and show it to you sometime.
There you go. Pretty wild.
Oh, it's incredible.
So if you could pick one unit and an accessory to go along with it mm-hmm. and a trolling motor, what would you pick? If you could only pick one and it'd be the most affordable, say, for someone who's in that ballpark of $27,000 to $35,000.
Okay, $35,000?
They're boats. That's
oh,
what their
okay.
boats are worth,
okay. 35. I thought you meant 35,000 on units.
No, because you would just have the whole thing be like units. So then you'd have to have batteries, and I'd have to go over there and grab a battery.
Solar panels like you have in the house.
Yeah.
Again, it's easy for me to spend money, but I tell people you have to determine. I always ask, what kind of boat are you running and what are you fishing for? Because that gives me an idea of the application you're probably looking for, what type of structure you're fishing or what type of lake you're fishing. Side imaging, in my opinion, is a must anymore because it makes the lake so much smaller. Okay. What I mean by that is I can make a pass through the river down here and see shore to shore, know where the tree falls are, the rock piles are. I'm not spending a lot of time, I call mowing the grass on 2D sonar looking for that structure.
Right.
When it comes to the unit, specific unit, Helix is going to be the more economical product to move into. I tell people to think of it like TVs. If you got a 13-inch TV at home in your bedroom and you're happy with that, that's what you need to use. But if you've got a 55-inch in the living room, it's kind of hard to watch at 13. Or as you mentioned earlier, the older we get, our eyes tend to change. I tell everybody buy the biggest screen that fits your budget. Now, candidly, I was not a touchscreen fan. We came out with a product several years ago that we no longer manufacture, a four-letter word we have.
Yeah.
Had to engineer my boat one day with a Helix 12 here and a Solix 12 here and a console, and I reached up and started punching the screen on the Helix. Now, knowing I wasn't a touchscreen fan prior, engineer said, wouldn't it be nice if that was touchscreen?
Right.
I'm a touchscreen fan. I really like my Solix units. I'm going to run a Solix 12 probably 90% of the time. I do run a 15 at the bow because I'm standing up. I'm 5 foot away from that screen. It's easier for me to see it. The console's right here in front of my face. The thing I like the most about the Solix is I can customize the screens. I've got 6 different palettes I can pull up, put whatever combinations of screens or displays in those screen sections that I want to use. The only limitation of that is on some of them it's too small for a 360.
Right.
We need enough real estate for that to be effective. But other than that, I can build the screen the way that I want to fish it. So if I want DI and 2D and 360 all together, I've got the opportunity doing that.
Okay, so we visited before we start our show about the rumor about live type sonar and seeing things in actual time. And so we'll ask them now because we can always, I guess, fade this part out.
Like no,
lightning strike us or something. But it's interesting because I'll let you answer that. I'm going to tell you, I think what's going to happen in very shortly after January, you know, and especially after a little later in the spring.
Yes. We were together at Wally Marshall's Crappie Expo.
Yep.
And you know how much we were asked that question. And we had a specific response that we were giving at that point in time that go to hummingbird.com, sign up for email notifications, and you'll be advised when, you know, the release is announced. Since that time, there's been a couple leaks. So it's hit social media big time. What I can tell you is the information that's been on social media, the picture that you see with Mega Live, it's not Mega 360 Live, it's Mega Live, is correct.
All right.
Pricing on it, MSRP is displayed. It's compatible with the products that's on that slide. And the projected consumer release into March 1st to April is pretty accurate right now.
And I think what is going to happen with the anglers is what we're seeing right now is a lot of guys with a lot of different brands of units and guys that are being forced to use units that they don't want to. And I think that's actually going to, like, this spring, you're actually going to see a lot of these guys with one brand, especially with the networking. It's the one boat network is really going to shine. It's really going to show off. And then you guys are going to have to go in there and explain how all this stuff works, because I think a lot of people have put that one boat network aside, and now you'll be able to come back and actually do really good with that.
Sure. The one boat network itself, you mentioned before, you get on the water and you teach people sonar systems with the old 80-20 rule. 20% of the people don't use 80% of the capacity of, or 80% don't use 80% of the capacity of the unit itself. They use maybe 20% of the capacity of the unit. When we do on-water training like you do, we go through menus, I mean, from tab to tab, and tell them from, you know, alarms to networking, what those do and how to set them up and how to be more efficient. I'm real big on telling people these are tools. Again, the comment I like to make is it makes the lake smaller for you, but my time on the water is important.
Right.
And the more time I spend fishing instead of pushing buttons, then the happier I am, the more fish you're going to check or going to catch. We got a local guy down here we work with in Rogers that just went to a different boat manufacturer this year. One of the big stick guys down here. I won't mention his name. I call him and ask him, how do you like your new boat? He said, it's a lot faster than the old one. He said, I get more casts in a day because of that. And that's the way you have to look at the electronics.
Right.
What makes you more efficient on the water is going to make you a better fisherman and catch you more fish.
There you go. There you have it. Good stuff. We love getting the hot information and, you know, that takes me over to tackle time. And since Mitch isn't here, I get to do whatever I want. So I went and picked out, because walleye fishing, you know, it's just around the corner. So I brought my favorite lure, and it's also one of the most productive lures on Beaver Lake, is this one right here.
That is mine, right? Right. That's my
yeah, this one.
Okay. Mitch, for co-hosting today. So
now you know, Mitch, it cost a couple of crankbaits to be on our show. Everyone will be on our show to get free crankbaits. Anyway, you can troll this, and that's the best part about it, or you can cast it. Mm-hmm. So either way, but for tackle time, that's our deep diving crankbait by Pico Lures. And that's it. Glad you enjoyed the show. Glad you were here.
Brett, thanks for letting us be here. Appreciate the time. I'm glad to help anytime we can.
There you go. Make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.
On Beaver Lake.
Yeah.